Psalm 57 is dedicated to the chief musician. There's a note here set to "Do Not Destroy," and commentators have wondered, is this a psalm tune or is it something else? It seems to me it's probably originally a notation by David himself. Keep this. It's going to be useful. It may well be that he was very aware that it was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, like all the other psalms. But in any case, it was set by David to be used in remembrance by all the people of God. It's a meditation of his, and the occasion is when he fled from Saul into the cave. And again, not sure what cave this is talking about. The cave of Adullam? Several other different caves? Or does it mean all of them together? We don't know. So let's look at it. The Holy Spirit moved him to write, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge, until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake, my glory, awake, lute and harp. I will awake in the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. For your mercy reaches into the heavens, and your truth into the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." Well, again, we don't know the exact circumstances going on when David was moved by the Holy Spirit to write this psalm. We know that, like most of his life, he was in trouble, he was in difficulty. He needed to cry out to God for mercy. And this is the cry that all the godly have. The godly know their sin. The godly know their corruption. They know that if they cry out only for justice for themselves, if they call out only for what is fair, they are dead. Because we all deserve, we all justly must receive punishment for our sins, whether it be directly by the hand of God. And people even now might think of this as like a lightning bolt from heaven or something of the sort. Or whether it be through the hand of different individuals, persecutors, and those who strive. However it is, David needs mercy, and so do we. We shall always need mercy, because what we deserve is condemnation. What we deserve is, well, the judgment that leads to condemnation. What we deserve is judgment. That is what all people deserve, because we are all sinners, every one of us. God, however, is good. He gives mercy for those who cry out to it. He gives grace. He sends his love and kindness for those who turn from their sin and turn to his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So David here is crying out for mercy. Why? Why? Well, first of all, he is confident in God's willingness to be merciful. His soul trusts in him. In the shadow of his wings, David takes refuge. But at the same time, he sees that "I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me." He's seen God's mercy in the past, and he knows that God is unchanging that way. And so he confidently looks forward to the salvation and for deliverance for those who would destroy him that we look at there in verse 3. It's a confidence in the future, a confidence in the God of the future. Now, what about these wicked ones? It's Saul, it's those others following after him who are seeking to destroy him unjustly. Well, they're like lions. We see that in verse 4. They are fiery in what they attempt to do. They seek to absolutely get rid of him like a fire does. Their teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongue a sharp sword. By the way, once again, you know, the Bible has no concept of the thing that, well, I learned, and probably most of you did. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Oh, yes, they can. And so when we have an old saying like that and contrast it with the Word of God, well, we've got to go with the Word of God. And for most of us, those experiences that we've experienced this, most of us know words can cut and deeply and sharply and sometimes in a deadly fashion. But despite all this, again, David shows his confidence there in verse 3. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. And again in verse 5 there, he looks to the one who would deliver. Be exalted, O God. Be glorified above all the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. God is glorified when he sends his mercy. Now again, what have they done? Well, they had plotted and schemed. They are trying to trip up and trap David. We see that in verse 6. It's talking there about a net, like you might have a trap set up where an animal would go along and hit a trip line, and underneath is a net set with bait in the middle, and the animal is scooped up into the air, sprung up maybe by a young sapling that had been bent over or something of the sort. But in any case, they prepared a net for the steps, and David is grieved over this. David is oppressed by this. By the way, don't go thinking, oh, David must not have much faith. Don't go thinking when you're in the midst of trials and you are weighed down by them, I must not have much strength. Jesus himself was bowed down by his trials. Jesus himself was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But there was deliverance for our Jesus, deliverance that he bought for us at the cross. There is deliverance for the godly as well. They've dug a pit before me. It's not just a net, a pit to fall into, but in the middle of it, they fell. Because God worked it out that way. So Selah, stop. Think about that. So, we get into verses 7 and 8 here. We see all the praise of God from this point on. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. We sometimes sing from Psalm 108, where similar words are, and we have it there, at least in our metrical version here that we use. My heart is fixed. That doesn't mean repaired, children. When you fix something, you repair it, right? But there's another meaning for the word fix, and that is to set something in place. It is right there. It is immovable. As in, if I take a big railroad spike and I pound it through your foot into the ground, you're fixed. You may need repair, but you're fixed, all right? So our hearts, David's heart, is steadfast. Because he's trusting in Jehovah, trusting in the God who saves him. He says, awake, my glory, awake, harp, lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn. He can't wait to the start of the day to be doing this, to be praising among all the peoples. And by the way, this is spoken of Jesus by the Apostle Paul in Romans 15, verse 9. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches into the heavens, that's high up, and your truth into the clouds. And so he repeats there in verse 11 what he'd already said there in verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. All this, as I just kind of mentioned here, speaks ultimately of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was surrounded by oppressors far nastier, far more persistent, far more, well, with a far deeper hatred than you and I are. And he endured that. He went through it without any sin. He continued on. And he was faced by all this. Why? In order to bring deliverance, rescue, salvation for us from our sin. It is he who ultimately is being spoken of here. Not David so much ultimately. We see David And we see ourselves, but through David's experience and through our own, we ultimately see Jesus. It is because of his life, his opposition, his death, but then his resurrection. It is because of that that we have the assured deliverance that David was thinking about here. And it is because of this that David wrote to himself, "Do not destroy." Save this psalm, save this thought. It will be good for all the people of God, all the church of God, in all ages, all times, all places. We look to the one who persisted. We look to the one who went all the way to the ultimate destruction in order that he might be raised and raised all of us with him.